Hey, this is Father Voskin, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, the Equinox edition of The Next Step. This is a podcast about life and love, about spirituality, well, looking at life through some very special glasses, lenses of Armenian Orthodoxy, what we call Armadoxy. This podcast is part of the expanding vision of the Initiatives mission and is brought to you by the good folks at Apostle.net. Apostolic evangelism for an expanding and electronic universe. So if you're ready, I know I am, let's take the next step. Did you get to see it last night? Oh, was that beautiful. Actually, I saw it on both ends. I saw it rise last night, and I saw it set this morning during my walk. It was beautiful.
Shine on, harvest moon, up in the sky, I ain't had no love since January, February, June and July.
Yes, welcome to autumn. It is already autumn, and we had the harvest moon. In fact, last night's was a phenomenal one. It was so big, and I think the exciting thing about it was the harvestest moon. In other words, it came out just right on the same day as the first day of autumn, on the equinox. And you know, we celebrate those kind of things over here on The Next Step. Well, at least I do. And it was so beautiful. I didn't get a chance to see it rise entirely because we were right in the middle of doing our Wednesday evening Questions and Faith series. But this morning, I got up extra early, and on my walk, I walked toward the moon set. And I got to tell you, it was equally as impressive, just huge. And it was just going down into the horizon. Got a chance to pay my homage to that moon and say that I saw the harvest moon. Harvest moon comes out right after the first day of fall. And this year, it turned out it came out right on the first day, the first day of fall. And that's not going to happen until the year 2029.
No brag.
That's something to look forward to, huh? Along with another Clinton or Bush presidency. You know, never know, one of their grandchildren or something. Along with that, you might want to tell your grandchildren, hey, look out the window. When autumn comes in the year 2029, that's going to be nice. Anyway, autumn is here.
Leaves of brown, they're falling.
In the year 2010. And we are here at the Apostle Studio. I've got to tell you, we're having some fun today, and that's what we're going to be doing today. Actually, we're going to be playing around with music. I know Ken's having a good time over there. He's got the entire Apostle music library at his disposal, so I appreciate you finding what is it. So far, we've heard Ink Spots, and we've heard Van Morrison. And I promise you, it's not going to end there. We're going to have some great music all throughout today's podcast. We're going to celebrate Jethro Tull being in Yerevan. So we've got some goodies coming up for you. But let me tell you, before you turn away, I know this is an important announcement right now. Ani is back. Ani's bubbles are back. And actually, today she's got a great one. It's a reflection that she does. Well, let's just say she's not only going to blow the bubble today, she's actually written the bubble. She's the soap herself. The soap bubble. Oh, wow. What a metaphor over here. She's so squeaky clean as it is. It just fits her, yeah. Anyway, she's coming up in a few minutes. She'll be doing her bubble today. It's a very special one and actually a very sincere reflection on her part. So I'm looking forward to that. She's told me about it. We're looking forward to having her in the studio and sharing the bubble. Speaking of being in the studio, I guess Father Goodridge was with us last week, and that went over fantastic. I mean, so many people wrote us about it. We had one of the highest download rates, and we made the CD available this past week throughout the Southern California area, so it has been a popular one. We have a few comments about that. We have some comments from other listeners as well, some that lend themselves into some questioning. And of course, we're going to talk today about this event that took place at Ahtamar. Ahtamar is a small little island And this has such a beautiful story. It's Akht Amar. It's, well, you know what? I'm going to share that with Ani. I think if Ani one day could do that as a bubble, that's a beautiful story in itself. But as legend has it, there is this small little island where two, I don't know if they were star-crossed, if that's the proper word, but two lovers basically are communicating with one another. And that's where this island got its name, Akht Amar. And on that island, there is a beautiful church called Holy Cross. And just last week, last Sunday, there was for the first time in almost 100 years, the celebration of the Divine Liturgy. And last week in my podcast, I spoke about it. I shared with you some comments about it. I'm going to continue that reflection because, well, something happened over this past weekend, and I need to share that with you. I think it's an important one. Hey, we've got a great show for you today, but we're going to kick it off with a song of the day. And as we do every week, we select something very appropriate. Now, let me tell you something. We are going to feature today a song by Jethro Tull. And why? Because Jethro Tull happens to be in Yerevan, Armenia, at the Opera House this evening. Ah, yeah, I know. We didn't get any takers. I asked you for those tickets. Nobody sent them. So I'm just very happy. I'm not happy. You guys needed to send me those tickets. Anyway, I'm just happy to be sharing this music with you today because they've been a very influential part of my life for the last 40 years. I mean, I'm talking about a group that has been around for 40 years creating, not just playing oldies. You know, you got a lot of times people get up and they're just kind of rusty and they're just standing up in this Jurassic scene and playing some music. The leader of Jethro Tull, here's a band that began in 1968 under that name. The leader of it is actually Ian Anderson. And I know he shies away from the name leader or the title leader, but he is definitely the driving force of the band. The singer, the songwriter, the flute player, the flautist. Very rarely do you find it in a hard rock band that you'll find someone of his caliber playing the flute. And throughout the years, he's actually moved that flute beyond just the rock band setting. And you'll find him playing, as he will in Yerevan, with the chamber orchestra. And as of late, he's actually performed with many chamber orchestras. In fact, I invite you to check out one of his albums, Ian Anderson, under his solo name. He's done an album called Divinities, 12 Dances with God. And it is fantastic. We've played some of the selections here on The Next Step as featured songs of the day. But today what we're going to do, I said a few minutes ago, here's a band, began in 1968, and here they are in 2010, still performing, still creating brand new songs. Every few years you'll get a studio album. But the song that I'm selecting right now is actually going to be one of the oldies, but not their oldies. It's a signature song of theirs, but I want to play it for you because it reflects the versatility, the creative nature of the human mind and the human spirit. It's what Jethro Tull is all about. And I want to share this with you, our listeners. It is a song by Johann Sebastian Bach called Bure. And in between, you'll find something from our old friend Ludwig von Beethoven as well. This is Bure by Jethro Tull. Thank you. Snort and all, there it is. Jethro Tull playing Bure, a signature song of theirs. Wanted to play that for the versatility. Did you see that? That's, of course, a live recording, but you just get the feeling of these people are incredible. Here's the imagination gone crazy, gone wild, you know, pushing it out to the limits. If you think this is great, you got to check out their collection. 40 years of Tull, and, you know, every song is just a creation of the human spirit, of imagination. If you're in Armenia this evening, you're in for a great show. And if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, well, I can't even imagine that there would be a Next Step listener in Armenia who wouldn't be Tull savvy. I know you're all out there, but by rare chance, if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, do see that show. In fact, we'll put a link to our show notes to the Jethro Tull site. You might want to check it out throughout the world. They do world tours just about every or every other year. You'll want to check them out. Check out where they're playing and do see them. I highly recommend seeing Jethro Tull in person. It is an experience. And I'm not sure which tour is really going around. I saw on their website that Ian Anderson is doing a tour with some groups. Either way, whatever one that's coming out your way, do make a point of getting out there and really experiencing some creative energy, unlike you've ever seen before. And those of you in Armenia, next time I'll be with you. I've been thinking about doing some Jethro Tull, some of the spiritual aspects of Tull in a podcast, a separate podcast. And maybe this could come around. What do you think, Susie? Maybe next Lenten season, like we did this past Lent. We did the 40 days of Lent. Maybe we'll do something very spiritual with the music that came out. You know, back in the 60s, 70s, there was a whole movement of music that rebelled rebelled against organized religion. And a lot of times when I look at what we're doing and how we always talk about this rebellion, this revolution, it really begins over there where there's this rebellion against organization itself. I mean, can you have a faith apart from the organization? Many times when we talk about Armodoxy, it's important to note that we are separating ourselves from the institution of the church. And this becomes difficult because we realize that the institution is really the one that delivered the message to us. So how do you divorce yourself from that institution? Well, we had an opportunity this past week to look at a couple of incidents that took place in the institution of the Armenian Church, one of which I blogged about, I shared on Twitter, and last week it was one of the topics on our Next Step podcast, and that was the consecration of the St. Leon or Reventians Cathedral. And I shared with you some deep feelings, deep emotions that took place in the consecration of that building. And I will admit it, I was very emotional when I shared with you my experience of watching that building turn into a church. That was an emotional experience. It was feelings at its best. I didn't approach it, and I didn't pretend to approach it as a journalist. I wasn't objective at all. But if you were to look at it objectively, of course, there would be a lot of questions that would come up. And in fact, one of our listeners has written us an email with some very important questions, and I want to share that email with you because I think it's important. I'm going to take some excerpts from his email, but I think it's important in putting this all in context, because objectively, when you look at the service, well, some questions do come to mind. Anyway, this is from a listener named Bruce. He writes, "The recent consecration of the St. Leon Cathedral brings a question to my mind. During the blessing of the pillars and icons, not only were the saints mentioned in the chant, but also the names of the people who dedicated money for the icons and the pillars. While I have little problem recognizing the efforts and the donations of anyone who gives to worthy causes, to me this seemed a little out of step with the Armenian tradition and the written words of our Bible, where it states that those that receive their rewards or recognition here on earth will not receive rewards and recognition in heaven." He goes on to say, "Please do not take my question as criticism, but maybe as confusion. I have overheard some discussion from a few whom I consider faithful and trustworthy that have taken offense to the combining of the names of those that have funded the above into the chants of the dedication." Yes, we didn't discuss that last week, but that was done. Yes, in the chants, you will hear the name of the donors. Anyway, Bruce continues by saying, "For me, I find this much like the rich man parable that was told to give all he had to the poor, take up the cross and follow Christ, and was unable to do so. I am wondering if the desire for money to fund auspicious sanctuaries, to live in luxury and drive BMWs rather than Fords and Chevys, have overtaken the very premise on which religion was founded. There is nothing wrong with fine things as long as it has not become our gods." That one sounds a little... I see. It has not become our God. I guess if you had spelled that with a smaller G, I would have kind of picked that up. Okay. Anyway, so basically saying nothing is wrong with fine things as long as it hasn't become our God. Okay, just correcting myself in the reading, I guess. "It seems that just maybe we are beginning to take the easy path rather than following the path of our teachings." Well, first of all, Bruce, thank you very much for this email. I think it's an important observation that you've made, and one that we need to address, because you're not alone. As you rightly state, there's been a lot of criticism about this. And maybe I like the way you've said it. You've stressed that it's maybe not as much criticism as confusion. And I've got to tell you, I am confused from the practical aspect as well. I mean, here we are in Glendale for the last 7 years, and Well, actually, for the last 30 years of my ministry, this has been really one of the difficult things that I've had to struggle with. Because to get the funds you need to do the work that you're doing, you need to get them from someplace. And many times, we appeal to what? The very thing that the faith teaches against. Basically, ego. It's not those fine things that have become the gods. It's we ourselves have become the gods. Ego has been placed up there. And if you think about it, what's the one thing that hinders a clear relationship with God? It's the ego. And that's why all the main religions talk against the ego, to hamper the ego, to put the ego to sleep. I mean, what's the entire point of Buddhism? What's the entire point of Christianity when Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me? What is that cross? It's egoless. It means sacrifice. It means giving to others. And I know, like I said, this last 7 years, we have struggled with this in the Glendale arena because, well, I'm being really honest with you. We have tried to run our youth ministry without putting up the names, without blowing the horns and saying, hey, this is the person who's given it. And the money's not there. Sadly, the money doesn't come. Or at least hasn't come in our case to the extent that we would like it to come. Okay, can I say it like that? Because in all reality, God has taken care of us. We've never been without. I mean, think about these podcasts. What have you given? I could say that clearly. Because we haven't really received big amounts. But we're still doing it. We still are on the air. We're still on the internet. We're still talking. And we still have listeners. Well, where's that coming from? Where's that money coming from? Sadly, many times you have to associate a name with it. And I think when I stood there last week, I thought about this as well at the consecration. You've got a upwards of $20 million project there. I think the entire complex costs something like $26 million. And here I am in Glendale, a lot of times trying to scrounge up a little bit of money to help somebody get through some drug addiction program or dealing with the difficulties we are with domestic violence and abortion that are all but swept under the rug because nobody wants to talk about it. And so you can't even fundraise in that respect, but you realize that money does give you the means to do those important projects. And those important projects could be many. I'm not putting any judgment on it. It could be a building, it could be a program. Whatever it is, you somehow have to come up with the money. So here's the ultimate question. Do the ends justify the means? So if we say that it's a noble end, in other words, it's a nice building, or it's a noble program that we have over here. We're going to help drug addicts. We're going to help the kids get educated about their sexuality and not use abortion as a means of birth control. Okay? There's a noble one. Okay? So let's agree on a noble cause. Okay? So does that end justify the means? Am I free to collect any way that I want? And I'm not talking about just putting names up on plaques or on stones or chanting their names. I'm talking about other means as well. How about gambling? How about raffles? How about bingo? How about Monte Carlo night or Las Vegas night? Knowing what addictions are involved in gambling, do we have a right? I remember, this is in the year 2002. I'll never forget this. In the year 2002, there was an article in the paper about a man who had won the lottery. And this took place right around New Year's. He had won the lottery, and from his millions, he donated $100,000 to the Salvation Army. And you know what I remember about this article? Because that was no big deal. There's always people donating to the Salvation Army or to other worthy causes. You know what I remember about this story and why it was in the paper? The Salvation Army had refused the donation. Yeah. 2002. Salvation Army refused the donation. Why? Because the man had won it gambling. And the Salvation Army on the other side is treating people with gambling addictions. They're on the streets. They're in Skid Row. They know what happens to people who are obsessed with gambling. And they couldn't take $100,000 from a man who had made that money gambling. I mean, this is really putting your principles ahead of all else. In other words, we're saying the ends do not justify the means. Hey, we're Salvation Army. We believe in the ends. We believe in our goals. We believe in our mission. So much so that we don't want to be hypocritical in the means to get to the goal. Now, can we do the same? Our listener asked this question. I think in all sincerity, it's a question that many people have asked. Why put the names on? You've probably been into churches. You've been into big organizations where they've just littered the place with names. There's one church right here in Glendale. You walk into it. I mean, every seat, not talking about seat, has a nameplate on it. And you're absolutely right, Bruce. You're absolutely right. If you applaud this man here in this world, God has nothing to applaud in the life to come. Yeah, he's received his rewards. And what's even more disheartening is that the entire church is built on this system. Yeah, you give out rewards. In fact, the indulgences. Remember what Martin Luther rebelled against? It's the same thing. It's like you're putting out, you have special seats for people. You have special rewards. You have encyclicals, papal encyclicals that come out. You have medals of honor. We're just basically applauding, doing what God should be doing. We're doing. We're inflating egos instead of taking the air out of some of them. Instead of saying that, hey, there's something more important in front of you. So where do we go from here? Okay, let's go to scripture. Jesus says, where your heart is, there your treasure will be as well. Where your treasure is, your heart will be as well. Think about it. The things that you treasure, the things that are important to you. Well, what do? You invest in those things. Are your children important? Of course they are. You invest in your children. How about your comic book collection? Is that important? Of course. So you buy nice cases for them. How about your car? Is that important? Of course it is. Your house. So you paint it. You take care of it. You invest in it. You put your treasure where your heart is. Jesus makes this very clear. Now, is the church important to you? Is faith important to you? You need to invest in it. You need to put your money where your mouth is, basically. Jesus didn't say it like that. Those are my words. That sounds like something out of a gambling hall, doesn't it? But you get the idea. If you believe in something, you've got to invest in it. I mean, you talk about our ministry over here, In His Shoes. You talk about Apostle. Yeah, every week we ask for donations. And we've never turned around and said, so-and-so gave, this person gave this much, and this person gave that much. We've been void of that. And there's a consequence to pay. We're not getting the millions. We're not getting the thousands that other organizations get. But it's important to keep that principle alive. Because the principle is very basic. Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. Look at the sparrows. They don't worry about tomorrow. Look at the lilies of the field. They don't worry about tomorrow, and your heavenly Father takes care of them. How much more will He take care of you? Just have faith. And we've built a ministry on faith. Now, let me expand this just a little bit because I want to put some closure and really bring it all together, what our listener was talking about in his email. That this is not about the people that are there. Not for one minute do I want to cast any shadow of doubt on their intentions, nor is it my intention to judge them. I want to believe that most, if not most, all of them who were there at that cathedral opening, who gave, who donated, did so because they believed in the project. I firmly believe this. I think we all believe this, that people are good and they believe in something where their heart is, and their heart happened to be in the cathedral. This is the way that they did it. I think that the models that we have are ready for change. I think we need to start looking at what Scripture is telling us. In other words, let God be the judge. Let God reward these people. And we as people need to accept that. We need to teach that in all that we do. It's not up to us to point fingers and blame either the people that were there, nor should we blame the leadership. I think the models that we have, this is what people have been following. But now's the time for us to change. That's why I go through so much pain in presenting this as Armadoxy. Not just Armenian Orthodoxy, not just Armenian Church, but as a new way of approaching our faith. And once we understand that, we understand that that faith is as ancient, not only as ancient as Armenia, not only as ancient as Christianity, but goes to the beginning of time, when there was nobody to applaud the creation, and yet we all enjoy that creation. Void of the applause, void of the recognition, we enjoy it today. Last week at Akhtamar, this is an Armenian island that happens to be in occupied Armenia. Today they call it Turkey. This is a small little island, and on there there is a church built centuries ago and was consecrated as the cathedral in Burbank was consecrated last week, with the same holy chrism, the same holy oil, the same prayers, the same offerings, the same asking of the Holy Spirit to transform that building from rocks and stones into a living church of Christ. And for 100 years, there hasn't been an Armenian service being celebrated there. Last week, the Turks invited Armenians to come back and celebrate the Divine Liturgy. Some of the leadership of the Armenian church refused to go, including the hierarchical sees, Etchmiadzin, Antilias, Jerusalem. They refused to send representatives. But the Divine Liturgy took place under the auspices of the Patriarchate of Constantinople, or Istanbul. And the Divine Liturgy, the prayers were offered, and a handful of people, a few thousand people, showed up, and they celebrated in this church. Now, the argument that the hierarchical sees used to not send representatives, to stay away, to boycott, was that the Turks were using this as a means of propaganda, of publicity. And rightly so. Politically, that's what the Turks were doing. That's what the Turks did. But as a church of Christ, of Jesus Christ, we are not convinced of the power of Christ. And Armadoxy says, stop looking at the politics. Look at the power that Christ is giving us. Because if we truly believe that that holy chrism is being poured on that church and has transformed that into the church of Christ, do we think that politics, do we think that a nation, do we think that a group of people can stop the power of God? Where is our faith? And for that reason alone, we should be there. We should be at Akhtamar because it is a church of Christ. It is a living church where Christ's work gets done. And once you believe that, it's easy to see that those politics don't matter. They're only there to occupy our minds with something that shouldn't be there, ego. Politics are what give us those badges and those emblems and those nameplates. But God's love allows us to be victors, not victims. I, as an Armenian Christian, am not a victim of Turkish propaganda. I'm a victor in Christ. Can we say that? And it's the same thing that happened over in Burbank or anywhere else where these names go up. It's having that conviction and believing that the cause is important enough. Whether my name is up there or not, I am going to give. And on the side of leadership, for them to accept that people are giving with pure heart, altruistically, that the philanthropist is truly giving because he believes in that project. Herein is the strength, what we call armadoxy. It's looking at it and saying that our greatest asset, our greatest power, is not money, but is the faith that God has put in our heart. Ani, you are just in time. We've missed you. She's been away for a few weeks. You all know that Ani does her weekly bubbles to allow our minds to float up a little bit, like the soap bubbles. I think today she's going to share with us where she's been. Here's Ani with today's bubbles.
Hello, everyone. I am so sorry to have been away all these last few weeks. A lot has happened, and it's been a whirlwind of excitement, but I'm happy to be back with you this week. So happy, in fact, that today's spiritual bubble is an Ani original. I know Father Voskin mentioned to you that I participated in the Avon Walk for Breast Cancer, and thank you to all of you who sponsored me on my journey. It was 39.3 miles of walking, walking, and more walking to help bring an end to breast cancer. But I didn't, and I couldn't do it alone. I had the honor of walking all 39.3 miles with my mom. And I say honor because even though I live with her and we're very close, she has participated in these walks for 7 years. And on top of that, she is celebrating 17 years as a breast cancer survivor. So while I was only 6 years old when she battled this horrible disease, I do remember the fear and the worry. But I also remember her strength and courage and her endless faith and prayers that helped her battle cancer. So it is an honor not only to have her as my mother, but to have the opportunity to walk next to her 17 years later. And while 17 years later, we're still trying to find a cure for breast cancer, we weren't doing it alone either. 2,800 other women and men walked with us. 2,800 other lives touched by breast cancer in some way. There were other mothers and daughters walking together, and some walking alone. Some walked for their sisters, their aunts, wives, grandmothers. Others walk so their daughters won't have to. When you walk a walk like this, it's more than just one weekend. It's an experience. It's memories shared and memories made. And it's really walking in her shoes. You meet so many fascinating people, all with their own stories of strength, love, and faith. We met one couple who had met on the Avon Walk 6 years ago. They were engaged the next time they walked and married the next. This was their sixth walk together, not just walking for each other, but for the cause. Then we met a crew member whose wife was celebrating 5 years as a survivor and his mother 10. The two of them make a point to celebrate survival and life by walking together one walk and crewing another walk together. Two events every year, celebrating life together. Then there was a man walking alone with a t-shirt that read, "Every year, for 2 days, I chase women, in memory of my loving wife." This was his eighth walk. Among the crowds are survivors, like my mom, celebrating life, their family and friends walking too, their support systems, their backbone. Some celebrating over 20 years of survivorship, and others still struggling, fighting cancer, and walking 39.3 miles with scarves on their hairless heads, chemo running through their blood, but hope in their hearts. One woman spoke at the opening and closing ceremonies, and we all had the honor of listening to her story. She is a 2-month breast cancer survivor and walked all 39.3 miles only 1 week after having a double mastectomy. Her story started our walk, filling us with anticipation, hope, and strength. We walked in her shoes for all the women and men who have fought her fight too. Like I said earlier, an event like this isn't something that's over in just 2 days. It's not just another weekend activity. It stays with you. It's a weekend full of pink ribbons, and everyone is tied together with that pink ribbon. The strength, the unity, the power that comes from the walkers is unlike anything else. Everyone is walking in her shoes. In that weekend, your story is her story, is his story, is the fight of every survivor, and you walk in their honor, in their memory, and with their strength. But it's all too familiar a disease now. Breast cancer, or stomach cancer, ovarian cancer, prostate cancer, brain, liver, lung cancer. Cancer is a household word. It's a dark cloud looming in the back of the mind. Whenever my mom and I go on a trip together, we get matching silver bracelets as a memento of that trip. For this walk, she bought a bracelet for each of us. Inscribed on it is, "What cancer cannot do." And I share it with you today as a final thought, because after walking with my mom and walking with so many whose lives have been touched by cancer, these words hold true. And it's what cancer cannot do that unites us all together in the fight to end this horrible disease. This is what cancer cannot do. Cancer cannot corrode faith, cannot shatter hope, or destroy peace. It cannot silence courage, invade the soul, or steal eternal life. It cannot suppress memories, it cannot kill friendship, and it cannot cripple love. Cancer cannot conquer the spirit. So this has been your pink spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind with good health, faith, and love to heaven.
Ani, what can I say? That was so beautiful, so well done. Thank you very much. You've given us so much to think about, so much to be thankful for, and really, thank you for that wonderful bubble. It really did what it set out to do, right? Like the soap bubble, it just took our minds somewhere else, and what an incredible reflection. I think we're all so blessed to have you in our lives, to have you reflect this way, and God bless you for the work you and your mom did, as well as all the others that went on that Avon walk and sponsored it. God bless you all. I don't know where to go from here. Not supposed to do that. Okay, out with you, Ani. This was too much. Listen, I thank God for this opportunity that we have to put together this podcast. We are already in the third year. This is episode number 120. And every time I think about it, it just makes me, you know, just thank God even more that we have this opportunity to come together. We have some listeners all around the world. In fact, I received a very nice email from one of our listeners out in London, England, Dr. Harry Hagopian. He happens to also be a big fan of Ani and her bubbles. But I mentioned this one because he points us to a website where he collaborates and he does some work on there. And I just wanted to share this with our listeners because I took a look at it. It is fascinating. It is something that you will want to plug into. It is called Ecclesia. Well, Ecclesia is the organization. It is the UK's leading ecumenical think tank. And Dr. Hagopian works very closely with this think tank. They often post used a lot of his articles, his podcasts, as well as his lectures, even by proxy, and they have recently promoted his 5 Armenian Thoughts of the Day. And this went out on the Premier Christian Radio in London. So I think it's really important that we are aware of similar activities throughout the world, and we try to help one another. We try to promote one another. So I want to put this link up. It's actually Ecclesia, ekklesia.co.uk/Armenia. And you will be privy to his thoughts. His thoughts about Armenia, about Christianity, how they intertwine. I mean, I thought it was very fascinating. I know you will enjoy it as well. So do check it out. Like I said, we'll put it on our show notes, and it'll be just a click away for you. And listen, I want to also thank all the people who wrote about the Father Goodrich interview. That was a fun one. Yes, it was. And I appreciate all the comments that we got. One of the reoccurring themes in the emails were that people were astonished, were kind of surprised that all of that activity was taking place at Etchmiadzin. We'll make sure to put his website, his Facebook name up there as well. Do check him out. Do sign up under Facebook. It's just great. You know, it's kind of fun. All of a sudden you get a comment from Etchmiadzin, you get the latest that's happening. It's always fun to follow people like that. And of course, when I say follow, he is on Twitter. And so are we. Did you know that? We are on Twitter, we are on Facebook, and the woman who makes that all possible, can you believe it? We've gone through the whole podcast and have not heard from her. Yes, I know, big time disappointment. Well, here she is.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the third year of production and growing daily with new listeners around the globe. This new message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. Epostle.net is the voice of Armadoxy, committed to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we need to avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at the inhisshoes.org website. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for always bringing the point home. You know, we do need your donations. We need your help. We need your prayers. And today we talk quite a bit about how to make those donations real. Hey, one of the quick ways, and you could be completely anonymous, as they all are. You know, you could just go on the website, hit the button, or else send in your donation to the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center, 632 West Stalker Street in beautiful Glendale, California, 91202. We've got a lot of stuff going on. Please do check out our website, inhisshoes.org, as well as epostle.net, where you'll find this podcast. You'll find all the podcasts from the beginning of time. Every Wednesday evening, we are streaming our Bible studies. You won't want to miss that. That also is at epostle.net, as well as, well, our Sunday sermons. And now we're separating them into Armenian English. Wow! Can you imagine that? You won't want to miss it. I mean, this is what we do over here. We do it with a smile on our face, and we want you to smile with us. We want you to be with us. We want you to join us. And speaking of that, whether it's a donation, a prayer, join us physically too. We're going to be in Las Vegas, October 14 and 15, at the New Media Expo. This is one of the largest gathering of bloggers. And of course, that's where podcasting falls into. So we're looking to go over there, learn something new, and share something that we have to offer with everybody else. If you want to join us, drop us a line at feedback@epostle.net. You can use that email to contact us just about anything, except some of the stuff that we don't want to hear. too, but I won't go into that right now. Hey, listen, this has been a great podcast today. It's been so much fun getting together, sharing some good music, some thoughts, and of course, Ani's Bubble. This has been a blessing for us. I hope it's been a blessing for you. For the wonderful crew who puts this together, I want to thank you for joining us. For Susie, our producer, for Ken, our engineer, for Ani with her bubbles, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.